Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder, and 101 Jobs David Holmes has done. The Belfast DJ, film scorer, record producer, seemingly constantly been on the move, making interesting experiences that we can share with him, really. Over such a long period of time, I feel inferior trying to explain everything he's done because the list is fucking long. So let's just get to that chat. I'm speaking to David because his new record with Raven Violet Blind on the Galloping Horse is out now on Heavenly Recordings. It's a great record. It goes to so many different places, has so many different characters, different mindsets. But as you hear later, they're all parts that make up David's mind, make up David's imagination, make up his real world. It's a record that really comes over you in a wash. I'm looking forward to spending more time listening to this in good headphones and on big speakers loud. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs. If you like this episode, please feel free to subscribe on Apple or Spotify, wherever you're listening to it, or leave a rating, leave a review, all that stuff. Does me a massive solid. At least twice a week, I'm doing this podcast, speaking to fascinating people. Thank you so much for joining me. 2000 Trees Festival in Cheltenham, just a few hours away from London, supports the show. They've just announced a mega lineup for next year, next July. The Gaslight Anthem are headlining, Manchester Orchestra, Boston Manor, Gouge Away, great hardcore band from Florida, The Mysterines, Dune Rats. Tickets for 2000 Trees right now are the cheapest, and before the new year, you can buy a ticket and then get a full refund if you find out, like I do all the time, that you book something and can't actually go to it. 2000trees.co.uk to get your tickets to one of my favourite independent festivals in the UK. It's always a blast. Yeah, 2000trees.co.uk. Okay, before we get into this chat, I've got Rebecca from Ampollo here. Ampollo is the first all-in-one app connecting a global community of musicians and bringing an all-in-one place to practice, record, and collaborate. Until now, practicing has been kind of lonely. There's been technical barriers. These are all things that Ampollo is working to make your life better for. Isn't that right, Rebecca? What's going on over there?
Hey, you know, it's quite expensive getting yourself to a recording studio, to a practice room, taking your instruments there, hiring the room out, you know, food, travel, everything that comes with that. You can now record and practice with each other from the comfort of your own home, and the audio quality is amazing. And you can look back at what you've done and what you look like. So it's a real great tool to sit alongside any musician from any level.
Ampollo, get on it sooner than later. All right, here's my chat with Belfast DJ, composer, record producer, thinker, David Holmes. 101 part-time.
You know what? I am very good at working on a few different projects at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things about film and making a record is to have the luxury of objectivity, you know, being able to kind of like work on a film for a couple of days and then go and work on something else for a day and then come back to the film. So you're always getting space and getting your head getting into something completely different. So when you do return, you can see you can see the woods from the trees. You know, it's kind of like it just sort of clears your mind and helps you see things more objectively. And because sometimes you can get bogged down working on the same thing day in, day out. So I've always, like, sort of over the last, I don't know, 20 years, I've always been, like, working on two or three things at a time. Because a lot of these things are kind of staggered. They're all kind of, like, deadline. You know, they've all got a deadline. So as long as I'm in, you know, I'm on time and, you know, I'm happy, then I can sort of step out of that and step into something else. And it's a real benefit for every project I'm working on, because it means that I'm just not sort of bogged down in the same world all the time. I really enjoy that.
I imagine there's going to be that kind of overlap period where you have this deadline, say it's, I don't know, September, the release is January, so by the time it's released and by the time things are coming out, you're on to the next thing. Do you find yourself, can you kind of navigate and stay on top of that quite well when it comes to promo and being like present for the album release or movie release, whatever it is?
You know what? I just kind of like sort of take a day at a time. I'm not like, I have kind of learned how to live in the moment, and that is something that took me a long time to do. And once I was able there, I was much calmer. I was much more relaxed. And I just keep my eye on dates and stuff, you know. And then, but when I've got my first, if I've got something that needs my attention due to a deadline, then that thing gets all of my attention, you know. And then once I've completed that part of the project, then I can sort of step out of it. But, you know, I just feel my way through it, you know. My life at the minute is pretty much this album, because I'd finished all my projects apart from the new Primal Scream album, which is getting mixed at the minute. So I had a TV series called The Woman in the Wall, with Ruth Wilson, so I was working on that. And then I was working on a film called Shoshana for Michael Winterbottom about the beginning of the Zionist sort of movement in Israel, Palestine, in the 30s. But my album was already finished. So, and also Sinead O'Connor's new LP that I can't actually talk about, but that's finished. So now that all my projects are finished, I can actually just do press. But I'm always buying records, so I've taken the rest of the year off from recording, just so I can listen to all the records that I've bought. And I've got a radio show that I do once a month for NTS, which it's a very selfish radio show, because I just do it for me. And I'm getting older, and you get older, you get lazier and stuff, so it's great to have that show where I can actually just focus a couple of days of just pure kind of just listening, because I think that's really important, as an artist, to sort of suck up all these different different records, different kinds of records, different styles. It's kind of enjoyable at the minute, apart from the fact that the world is ending. watching what's happening in the Middle East just unfold is just fucking heartbreaking, terrifying. Wrong on every level. So it's just So I've kind of just been focusing on the record, doing press, which is there's been actually quite a lot on this album. People seem to they want to talk about it.
Blind on a galloping horse. It's reading about the narratives and the storytelling from refugees and the accounts that are on the record and Raven Violet. And I remember when If We Run Out of Love came on the radio, I was like, fucking hell, what is this? Because it's like a soundtrack movie. Like that tune really washes over us. And it feels like it's a very kind of broad, it's a really impactful sounding record. I'm trying to use a word that's not cliche or stereotypical. It's such a powerful record.
Thank you.
So lots of different characters in there.
Yeah, well, all the characters are me, really. I mean, there's nothing on there that doesn't represent my, just my thoughts and feelings and, over the last sort of 7 or 8 years, from Brexit right through COVID, watching our country. Well, not my country, but I'm unfortunately still ruled by the British government because I live in Northern Ireland. But watching the sheer magnitude of corruption, unfold has been quite astounding. And people running a government that are just so out of touch with its people, and so that played a big part in the record. And also my own, that's why I'm saying to you, I'm pretty calm these days, because I sort of had my own battles with mental health. It didn't affect me. My mental health didn't, it didn't show itself. It was all in my mind, hence what's called mental health. But it was something that I got to grips with through psychedelic therapy, and now I'm just much more relaxed but much more considered, so it's taking care of that was a huge help in making me, I think, a better artist and a better music producer, because I can, very clearly see things where before I could see things, but there was also a fog, So once I cleared the fog, then my life became a lot better, in terms of just living in my own mind, that's been a real catalyst to this record, but also being very, very aware of what's going on around me, which never happened growing up. Even I grew up in a fucking war zone, but when I was 19, 20, I discovered acid house and ecstasy. The last thing I wanted to do was sort of address the troubles, I was too busy addressing this incredible new music that was coming out of Chicago and Detroit and London and Germany and, you know, Italy and, you know, all this just great music and also this amazing drug when it actually is ecstasy. When it is, it was kind of profound experience. So I never really dealt with my own upbringing as a, 20 something. And then just as I've got older, and I think with the invention of technology, the internet, everybody having a camera on their phone, you know, everything is so much more exposed. I think the world has always been insane and it's always been corrupt, but I think there's nowhere to hide now. And technology in itself is something that we're just dealing with on a day-to-day basis. It's still very new. In a sense, even though it's been, the internet, when did it kick off? Like the mid-90s or something, But yeah, that's the one thing that the world has now that it never had before. And
that kind of information sharing, that instant sharing.
Yeah, but also artificial intelligence, like where the fuck's that going to end up, What we do know is there's a lot of people in this world, not a lot, but, there are certain, I think the best way to put it is all the wrong people are in charge at the wrong time. And what we actually need is leaders that have empathy and care about just human beings.
Absolutely.
Rather than sort of like keeping the oil companies happy and keeping the billionaires happy. And, it's all, and I mean, that makes me sick, I'll always be working class to the day I die, even though I've built a good sort of, life for myself in terms of, I can work on what I want and stuff. I don't have any issues with that, but I'll always be working class because that's the way I was brought up. Like some of the happiest days of my life was when I had nothing, because I always consider myself to be really privileged, because even though I grew up in a tiny terraced house with, 9 brothers and sisters, my mum and dad, and a war happening outside, my mum and dad both working 3 jobs, it was a really happy time because I was loved, and I consider that to actually be a real privilege. And that means so much more. And when you see people that are just struggling on the streets and they're constantly being dangled this carrot of fear, we should be afraid of immigrants. We should be afraid of, just marches, but actually the real problem is actually the people who are actually running the show. And there wouldn't be all these mass strikes and marches if the government was actually doing their job with some humanity.
It benefits them that everyone at the bottom are fighting. If we're fighting with each other, they benefit.
Yeah, I mean, how can you say that like marching for Palestine is a hate march? People are just marching to get them to stop blowing all those children to smithereens like every night in the fucking dark. Go after Hamas. Yes. What happened on October the 7th, which was appalling. But, it didn't start on October the 11th or 7th. It started long before that. It's like, why did that happen? And is going into Gaza, which is already like an open-air prison with limited supplies. Is that the answer? No, it's not. It's just going to make things worse. Benjamin Netanyahu is a fucking war criminal, but before that, he was just a criminal, up to his fucking neck in fraud, Now, which is really encouraging, I've seen that people of Palestine, Israel, are coming out on the streets demanding that he fucking steps down, because he's just, if you're talking about distraction. So a lot of this stuff went into the lyrics and stuff, and my mental health, it's all wrapped up in one sort of story, really, because I think if you were lucky, and I consider myself one of the lucky ones, and I've got a feeling you might be one of the lucky ones as well, COVID, albeit a catastrophe, right? I mean, fuck, you wouldn't, you know, if you could go back and live life without COVID, you know, yes, I'd take it all day long. But I always look for the positive, and COVID was a time for a lot of people. If you were one of the lucky ones, where you could just reset and think about how you're living your life, how you want to live your life, kind of person you want to be. I mean, I always want to be the best version of myself. You know, to me, that's totally logical. Everybody should be doing that. You know, if there was more love in the world and less hate, you look at the money that's went into funding to helping Benjamin Netanyahu. When that money, and we're talking about like hundreds of billions, you're like, surely that could have fed everyone and built more affordable housing for people on the bottom line. So yeah, the world is fucking crazy, and I tried to get as much. I mean, they were. That's just what I was going through. Like, you know, it was. Nothing contrived. It just happened because I write everything down. You know, I write, if I see something written down that I like, it's turn of phrase or something. I just overhear something on television or conversation. I write it down, you know, and I don't analyze why I write it down. I just write it down. And then when I go to look at it afterwards, I start to put it all together and form verses and choruses and like lines and stuff. So then you find out after you've actually written a song that you find out what you've been thinking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like what you're writing about. You're like, oh my God, that is about my struggle with mental health, or that is about, you know, refugees, or, you know. But life is full of all sorts of fucking, you know, like working with Sinead O'Connor had a profound effect on me, you know. Very fortunate to become friends, seeing the real Sinead, beautiful, fiercely intelligent woman who had the wickedest sense of humor, but also incredible, very strong views, which she was proven right on a lot of, you know, on everything that she said, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, all that goes into when you actually make a record that's got your name on it, you know, when there's songs that have been written by you, all this stuff in life feeds in to the process you're going through. And, you know, you don't even realize you're going through a process because you're just living in it, you know?
Blind on a Galloping Horse is a great name to wrap that up in.
I just thought it was a great metaphor for where we are, you know? Everything's going so fast. And we're being kind of like bombarded with information and points of view and just chaos. And, you know, so I thought blinding a galloping horse was one way of kind of putting that. It sort of was quite sort of poetic. The saying actually comes from, it's an old Irish sort of adage, or it might even be like Northern English, but it's kind of like it's stating the obvious. You know, it's so obvious that a blind man and a galloping horse could see it, you know? So it has sort of like, you know, it has layers. And yeah, the minute I realized that, I just knew you can't call this album anything else.
I mean, what you say about kind of, mental health and that kind of fog, when that fog clears, you're able to kind of see more, you know, obviously more clearly, and you can open yourself up to other sounds or experiences or things that are around you. I mean, in my mind, being a DJ and having, you know, being a DJ from such a young age, that element of all these things flying around and every day is you're learning something new, you're hearing something new, you're exploring something new.
I think it's just about being curious, you know, and I consider myself to be very curious about a lot of things. And that kind of all just sort of embeds itself in your psyche, you know, and ideas start to form, come out of that, you know, like half the time I don't even like, where did that come from? You know, and you kind of realize, oh yeah, you know what I mean? So you kind of start looking back and, you know, cause it's all about sort of sucking it up and not being blind to, you know, ideas and, you know, possibilities and good people and, mm-hmm. you know, great art. And one of the epiphanies I had during COVID was deciding who I wanted to spend more time with and deciding who to spend less time with.
Yeah.
You know, and once you cut that sort of toxicity out of your life and you just sort of surround yourself with good people, you know, they don't have to be your best friend, but they're good people. You know, they're good people. They're like honest. They're not toxic. They're out on their own path, trying to do something for themselves. And I think that's a really healthy place for anyone to be, because life's too short without having sort of mindless nonsense, mm-hmm. you know, just gossip and fucking, mm-hmm. you know, bitching and like, you know, I don't want it. You know, I don't need it. Why do you? You know, why does anyone need it? But, you know, it's that old Johnny Rotten line, you know, a cheap holiday and other people's misery. You know, it's like some people just like to hear that because it makes them feel better about their own, mm-hmm. their own lives. But that all kind of just stems from insecurity, you know, mm-hmm. rather than trying to, you know, just be a better fucking human, be a better artist, be a bit more thoughtful, kinder, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's you know, the quest that I've been kind of on, you know, with my mind, with my mental health, and a lot of realizations through actually making a breakthrough and being to live much more in the moment rather than, you know, what, you know, just the imagination is such a powerful thing. You know, half the time people worry about nothing. You know, and that's what I was doing. You know, I was extreme, like inventing problems for myself. Mm-hmm. It's called Pure O. It's like a really intense form of OCD, but without the compulsion. So you get negative thoughts, but like most, everybody gets negative thoughts, but mine hung around. And so it sort of on this Ferris wheel of hell, you know, yeah. And you know, and suddenly you're sort of creating these kind of self-fulfilling prophecies, you know. So
I can relate.
Yeah. So like that was definitely a really big destructive beast in my life. But the other 70% of that obsession was being able to, you know, constantly work on different projects and give every single project my heart and soul, because that's just another thing that is very working class mentality. Is like, you know, if you get an opportunity to do something, especially something that you love, then don't fuck it up, you know, because, you know, you have to be grateful rather than entitled, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of entitled, ungrateful, privileged people in this world that just happen to be running the world.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I think a lot of these big companies are really making, and government as well, they're profiting off our insecurity. And so we always think that we need that shirt or that pair of trousers or that car, you know, whatever it is. And it makes me think that as an artist, we're surrounded by capitalism, of course. And so kind of art as commerce, that kind of thinking, has it been, I mean, talking about 101 part-time jobs. Has one of those jobs for you, you know, across all the different types of work that you do, has one of those jobs been trying to stay pure and not be, not even misled, but just making sure that you're looking inside of yourself rather than outwards and looking at what's expected of you, for example?
I don't do anything that's expected of me. I just do what I do. Having integrity and doing it to the best of my ability is just something that's inbuilt. And because I have that obsessive nature, it kind of like, you know, you become as much of a perfectionist as you can be, because sometimes you got to abandon work and just be happy. You know, like, look, it's fucking killer. Like, leave it. And then, of course, you listen to it a year later and you go, oh, I should have turned that down. Right? Like, that doesn't exist. Sometimes you just got to sort of, like, abandon your work and just be, it's part of the journey, you know. I don't think about what other people are doing, you know. Like, I admire it, I listen to it, but I'm very much on my own, you know, my own path, as it were.
There's a track on this record written by the late Andrew Weatherall. Really great to hear his work, to hear his music after this time. What's the story there?
That was a song that I didn't write. That was a track that Andrew wrote and recorded fucking 10 years ago, maybe more. But it never seen the light of day due to sort of, there was just some legal disputes. I wanted to honor Andrew on my album. The album is actually dedicated to him. And I started listening to that album that's never seen the light of day. And that track just fitted very, very neatly into my narrative. It's actually just, it's about what we were saying like 5 minutes ago about, you know, being careful who you hang out with and don't be fucking wasting any time with toxicity and people who are negative and are just moaning all the time. It's like, just get fucking on with it and, you know, do the best you can. Because, like, you know, it's like I laugh myself to sleep thinking about the company I used to keep, you know. So that fitted beautifully into the narrative. And it was great to do it because it's being sung by a female and Andrew would have loved that. You know, he would have loved this version. I know he would have, you know.
When you have, you know, these next few months off, you know, up until Christmas, where do you think you'll go to for music and films? Where are your go-to places? And how do you watch and listen to stuff? Is it at home on the record player? You'll buy records and put it on and sit there?
Yeah, well, I've got my own studio, you know. I'm like you can see, there's records everywhere. Yeah. Keyboards everywhere, guitars, fucking, you know. It's a toy shop for grown-ups. And, you know, so I sit in here and, I still buy loads of records. And then I'll actually sort of listen to them and digitize them at the same time.
Okay.
You know, so it's good because some of them it's good to put a lot of the vinyl onto my phone.
That's efficient.
Yeah, and then I can just make playlists and then, you know, play that when I'm in the car or whatever, you know, so... You have to sort of like, if you're working on a bunch of projects, you sort of have to use your time very creatively because it's important to sort of to listen, you know. I mean, I just want the fucking hit. You know, music is a very emotional thing for me. So I'm kind of always just looking to hear that record and fucking go, wow, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that connection that you feel when you discover, when you hear that record. And I think one of the things I want to get across in this show is, you know, of course, we're speaking to artists and musicians that we're going to see on the screen or on stage. And I think the value of that is by hearing and connecting to think like, you know, we are all one. We are all the same. You know, it's about sharing knowledge.
Mate, I come from planet Earth. and a place in, I come from a place on planet Earth called Ireland, you know, and it's like, you know, like we're all fucking humans, you know, that's what saddens me and sickens me about these religious fucking wars. You know, I grew up in one, even though it's not about religion, actually, it's about land. It's about identity. It's the country that you grew up in our case, invaded, you know, by sort of the old sort of British Empire. And here we are, and I've got millions of English friends who I love dearly, and it's not about English people. It's about, this is our country, right? And that's what's happening in Palestine right now, you know? So, but I also think that one blade of grass isn't worth the life of another human being. But unfortunately, people don't think like us. Otherwise, there'd be world peace and everybody would be fucking working and enjoying themselves. You know, you'd have humanity standing and telling the truth rather than some cunt just telling you what works for them politically.
So there was David Holmes here on 101 Part-Time Jobs. His new album with Raven Violet, Blind on a Galloping Horse, is out now. Pick up through Heavenly Recordings. And go look at the other records that are on Heavenly as well, because everything coming out on that label is fantastic. Cheers for listening. If you enjoyed this, make sure you subscribe, leave a review or a rating. That's really helpful for me to keep on getting great guests. And thank you so much. I'll be back next week with my 300th episode. That's going to be later on the week with Kurt Vile. But before then is Ben Gregory. All right, see you then.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.